At any point in your stock exchange career, could you have ever conceived of yourself as doing a jobber's job?
I felt at times I would like to have done, because I thought one or two of them were so damned hopeless. Yes. But I don't think I would have wanted to switch, not after a few, not after I got into the swing of doing the government brokerage side. That was.
Did you ever feel that the broker was a different type of animal to the jobber?
Yes, I think you did. You felt the broker was possibly slightly smoother and got, to use the jargon to talk to the general public or the clients anyway. Yes, I think probably the broker was the smoother of the characters because he was well versed in saying certain things.
Would you say the single capacity system had any particular strengths?
Yes, I mean, I think single capacity. I've always got the, if you have dual capacity, you'll never quite know whether everybody's telling you the truth, whether they're talking their book. Whereas if it's single capacity, you know the man is definitely trying to do the best for you.
Would you say it had any weaknesses?
No, I don't think so. Can't think of one. Can't think of one. No.
We might just finally conclude with how your own stock exchange career finally concluded. You became a partner in 1970.
I think it was about 1970, yes.
What did that entail for you in terms of your responsibilities within the firm?
Well, I think you began to feel that you were responsible for people because we were roughly around the 100 level. We were either 90 or we were 110, and you realised that an awful lot of people who were dependent on you. It slowly dawned upon you that their lives, not only their lives, their wives and their children, depended on you. And we were being a small firm and being a sort of firm where people came and stayed. You got to know them very well. You perhaps you were paternal, but in the nicest sort of way, I think. You knew their wives, and I'd seen them grow up with me, and I'd seen them, their children when they were born, and you'd known all about them. And you did sort of worry about them and take an interest in them. I'm sure all the partners did. If staff were in trouble through wives being sick or something like that, it was a slight worry to you. Not a big worry, perhaps, because I mean that would be wrong to say that, but you did think of it.
Did you find you had a slightly different perspective being the dealing partner, the one who went into
I
the
think I was.
house?
I think I was. Yes, I think. I think probably, being the type of firm we were, the partnership I remember was very aloof from the. I mean, very Victorian in its attitude, almost Georgian, I would say, when I joined it. That the dealing partner got to know people far better because he was used to talking to them, whereas other members of the partnership were more inclined to treat it in a very general way and would delegate the office manager to find out if anybody was all right. But that was in the old days, and then with the advent of younger partners like myself, I think we became more in touch with the staff.
Now, what happened to the job of the government dealer partner, as it were, with Big Bang in 1986?
Well, I was asked by the Bank of England if I would go in to the bank and to see if I could train them and oversee the sort of movement from way the stock exchange was, and bring the bank into it because they were going to do the dealing. So I went into the bank for 3 years and sort of trained them, and they were all very good, and they seemed to get the grip of it much quicker than I did, actually, because I could never alter the television program properly. And so after 3 years there, I actually retired, and I think they're doing a very good job, damn sight better than I could.
What was the difference? It was all
screen dealing, you see, with a lot of people. I mean, this is why I said to you earlier that I'd been in the old system, meeting eyeball to eyeball, and with people whirling around me. And speaking on the end of a telephone or looking at prices on a screen, I think it's just a different world to me. I didn't like it awfully much, because I like going out and talking to people.
And what happened?
You see, a lot of people will not tell you things on a telephone. They used to ask, are you recording this? Well, we never recorded anything. And, I mean, I wouldn't dream of recording anything if you're speaking to somebody you're supposed to trust. I mean, you either deal with them or you don't deal with them. But if you're recording things, people are not going to tell you the truth or give you the nod on something. And you've got to see them face to face. You know, they don't know if the telephone's bugged by somebody else. Or you've got to be damn careful when you're using a telephone, I'm afraid.
Now, what happened to Mullins?
Mullins went into Warburgs, became part of Warburgs. We decided, when we knew Big Bang was coming, that we needed to go in. First of all, we thought we could do our own dealing. And I said we couldn't. And I think I was told that we could, and I was told by those who wouldn't have to do the dealing that we could. But I said it was a very different thing. So we decided in the end to go in with a firm who we knew, and we decided that we'd try Aykroyd. Aykroyd responded favourably to us. And I don't think, at least I hadn't realised, of course, that they got a tie-up with Rowan Pittman, who also had a tie-up with Warburgs. And so, therefore, the sort of whole marriage came about. But I think we probably, and I don't think I do anybody an injustice by saying that we didn't realise the implications of our tie-up with Aykroyd. But I mean, it's worked very beautifully, really.
How have you felt about your stock exchange career? Was it?
I think I went in at the right time. Yes, I think I definitely went in at the right time. I had a lovely time there.
Good. I think we can conclude on that note. Thank you very much.